I am Brian Curtis, joined now by Shane Anderson, producer, director, filmmaker, and swell guy. His latest film, A River's Last Chance, the story of salmon, timber, weed, and wine along California's mighty Eel River. How's it going, Shane?
It's going great. Good to be back in this building. It's been a minute.
Yeah, you got some roots here. You went to HSU for both science and for filmmaking.
Yep, and it was there where I had the epiphany to try to combine the two about 5 years ago and set out on my own into the great wide open with a camera and a couple ideas, and three films later, here I am back in Humboldt County with a film about the mighty Eel River that flows into Humboldt County.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I'm going to jump to my fourth question right off the bat, because what we were just discussing sort of touches on that. Were you interested in the medium of film, and you're like, I want to be a filmmaker, and then you sort of arrived at ecology as a compelling subject to make films? Or was the primary motive like, I have all these ecological concerns and stories I want to tell and ideas I want to explore, and you just sort of came to film as the most logical way to do that?
Well, prior to living up here in Humboldt and returning to college at HSU to study fisheries biology initially, I worked down in the film industry in LA for quite some time. And I wanted to return back up to the rivers and the woods and be around the fish and study science. But it was here that I realized that I'd probably have the best impact if I tried to use film as a tool to convey some of these conservation issues, because they were so overwhelming once I started learning the science and learning what was going on ecosystem-based across the West Coast. I felt like I wanted to move forward with film and science, merge them into one.
Right on. So you've been up and down the coast and you've seen a lot of different rivers and come to understand the changes and the threats. What is it about the eel that makes it so vital?
Well, the eel's California's third largest river, and a lot of us consider it probably the best chance for wild salmon recovery on the entire West Coast. And that's primarily due to the fact that it's an entirely wild river with wild salmon. There's no hatchery integration with the fish there. Most of the salmon runs across the West Coast have been supplemented with hatcheries. And a lot of the fish have lost some genetic integrity. And the Eel River fish, with their wild genetics, are going to be what survives into the future with climate change and other limiting factors. And the other important part of the eel watershed is that it's got the strongest logging laws now in the country, and a lot of the West Coast is really being affected by industrial clear-cut logging in the watersheds, like up in Oregon and Washington.
Yeah, your previous film dealt primarily, as I understand it, with logging and the ecological impacts that was behind the Emerald Curtain, if I understand correctly. You mentioned drought and climate change. Of course, I think those are weighing heavy on everyone's mind. But you also explore how the eel has been experiencing record low flow levels because of diversion for irrigation. And, and I don't think I need to spell out that irrigation is going towards a couple of our local major industries. And I was wondering if you wanted to talk a little bit about that and the impacts that you've been learning about.
Yeah. So back in 2012, we saw this resurgence of salmon that was honestly mind-boggling for a person like myself that's been traveling up and down the West Coast fishing my whole life. And then 2 years later, the river ran dry for the first time in remembered history. And that was a really big wake-up call. That's when I realized that I needed to make this film. It ran dry for a number of issues, the drought one of them, logging's legacy, the 64 flood legacy, but also the cannabis industry is having a significant effect tapping into headwater streams throughout the entire watershed. And since a river is made up of its streams, every little water pump is having an impact.
Do you have high hopes for some of the new water conservation laws and guidelines that need to be met in order for growers to come into compliance with the legal recreational laws and distribution? Do you think that they're going to have a positive impact? Have you kind of looked at some of the paperwork and what's being proposed, and you saying, yes, like these are steps in the right direction?
Absolutely. We're going in the right direction now. I mean, prohibition is what caused this mess to begin with. And now that there's legalization and environmental regulations being written, you know, it's going to take time to correct, and there's going to be a lot of people that aren't coming into compliance with the regulations put forth by Fish and Game, but at least it can be more regulated now, and there's more awareness And I'm positive. I think we crested the peak of the green rush, and I think we're going to be seeing, you know, I think it's going to affect the eel in a positive way.
Here's to hoping. Another, I guess, component of that is not so much the grower side of things and the supply side, but also the demand side. And so I'm curious if A River's Last Chance touches on forestry, but also the economic interests of wheat and wine, which are dependent on, you know, people who want wheat and wine to create the demand for those industries. Are you hoping to spark awareness among the viewers of how their own consumption habits impact the industries and create the demand that are proving ecologically problematic?
I would just encourage everybody to focus on the whole regenerative farming movement. You know, there's a really positive momentum going in that direction, kind of returning to the permaculture roots that gave birth to the cannabis industry here. You know, and it wasn't until the last 20 years where we saw kind of this industrial mindset influx coming into the region. Taking kind of an indoor growing mentality and applying it to the outdoor outdoor gardens, which in effect had the worst issues on water quality. But there's a whole growing movement in regenerative agriculture, living soil grown, and I would just encourage everybody to learn more about that.
Do you speak with some of the proponents and practitioners of this sort of regenerative farming in the film? Is that one of the big focuses?
I touch on it at the end as a solution. It's something that I'm planning on doing a future project on, like perhaps my next big project, kind of looking into the region and the cannabis in the region today coming out of the shadows into legalization and touching a lot about the positive steps that this growing regenerative movement is having.
Yeah, you mentioned the eel being so fortuitously located along an area that has very progressive and very stringent timber laws, and I feel like it's coming to pass that we will also be having, hopefully, some of the most progressive cannabis regulations as well, because we've been at the vanguard of that for so long that we've had a chance to witness firsthand the problems of having weak and lax regulations. So hopefully here in Humboldt County, we can be kind of carrying the torch for what will eventually be a statewide and hopefully a nationwide movement as far as making those improvements.
Yeah, actually the new cannabis regulations are even more stringent than the timber regulations and many other agriculture regulations. So it is going to set the benchmark. And, you know, with legalization, there's going to be plenty of places for industrial scale growing throughout California. So what this region is known for is its quality genetics and quality gardening styles. So in order for the cottage industries to survive, I think they're going to have to go in that direction to grow regenerative products.
Yeah, it seems to be a recurring theme among many of my guests lately, as perhaps some astute listeners have gleaned very much an au courant idea. This is now your third feature film that deals with regional ecology up here. And so you've found yourself a very nice niche and one that is near and dear to a lot of our hearts. I'm wondering what you learned during production of this specific film that kind of came as a surprise, because at this point you obviously know your subject matter and you kind of have a sense of what story you want to tell when you go in. So in speaking with your various cast of interviewees and doing your research and shooting your film out in the forest in the wild, what struck you most that you didn't expect to learn or see?
Well, I lived in the region for 5 years, but it wasn't until filming where I realized how large and wild the Eel River watershed is. It's 3,600 square miles. There's 832 tributary streams, and they are spread across this vast landscape of very hard to get to areas. So it gave me a whole new reverence for how wild the region is, and therefore how much opportunity it has compared to other places on the West Coast that are more developed. And just how complicated the history of the Eel River was. I had no idea just how, you know, in-depth some of the, you know, issues and limiting factors were until I really started researching it, you know, that period between 1850 and now.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the film itself and just sort of making it and shopping it around and how that's been for you. I understand it's been showing at some festivals, particularly some ecologically minded festivals, and you've been receiving some accolades and getting some good feedback.
Yeah, we premiered up in Portland in the end of September at the Portland Eco Film Festival to a sold-out crowd of over 400 people, and have done about 7 shows since across California and Oregon, and sold out every single one of them. So really excited to bring it to Eureka this Friday and see if we can fill those 700 seats.
Yeah, tell us about the event and what people can expect and how they should go about making their plans.
Yeah, well, it's an event hosted by California Trout and Pacific Rivers. It's basically a fundraiser, so, you know, the door proceeds will go back into the Eel River and further help with distribution of the film and really getting a tour, a strategic plan on and in it on the road. This Friday at the Eureka Theater, January 19th from 7 to 9 p.m. And we're going to have a pretty in-depth Q&A panel after the show, since a lot of the people starring in the film are local around here, including some wonderful professors here at HSU.
Yeah, you want to drop some names, give some shout-outs?
Yeah, there's the emeritus Dr. Terry Roloffs and Bill Trush and graduate student Emily Cooper, Allison O'Dowd, and a whole cast of other locals from the Arcata, Eureka, Fortuna area.
So we've given sort of, you know, broad, big scope view of this is a film about the Eel River and about some of the problems it faces. Is there anything else that you want to kind of add to sort of shape people's perception of what they might expect to see if they were to come to the screening?
Well, the story of the eel, one of the main reasons I dove into this project was I think the story of the eel tells the story of rivers across the world and across the West Coast. And I've always thought of the Eel River as this giving river, kind of like the children's book, The Giving Tree. It literally has given its life to the progression of society, you know, throughout several cycles of booms and busts. So an overarching theme is those that can't learn from history are condemned to repeat it. And right now we're at a very critical juncture for the eel with the legalization of cannabis and also the relicensing of the dams up in the headwaters. It only happens every 50 years. So I wanted to get both those topics out there because the decisions that we make today are going to decide the fate of the river.
Yeah, and the people who potentially will be seeing your film and learning from it have the potential to make their voices heard when it comes time for those important decisions to be made.
Yeah, the film is a tool to educate, activate, and inspire people to lend their voice because rivers need our voice, and they're a public common, and we live in a democracy. So unless people stand up and be voice for the river and voice for the fish and the forests, you know, nothing's going to change.
Well, thank you for being such a loud voice in that regard. This has been Shane Anderson speaking with me here in the studio. His film, A River's Last Chance, makes its North Coast debut this Friday from 7 to 9 at the Eureka Theater. Where can people check out info online about the event and about the film itself?
Well, I got a link on pacificrivers.org where you can get tickets, and caltrout.org, northforkstudios.net. And I highly recommend getting tickets ahead of time because the last couple of shows have been sold out.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you kindly.
And thank you so much. We really appreciate you coming in.